TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Warning. The Outsider's Edge contains strong opinions, unconventional views, and contrarian stances. Listen, if you dare.
Hey, yo.
Ain't nobody really the gorilla. Ain't nobody really the gorilla. I said, ain't nobody really the gorilla. Ain't nobody really the gorilla. Gorilla tactics. Whoa.
As we were brought in by the fire tones of the Tongans, with whom we give our deference to, I'd like to thank you for listening to another episode, another edition, another one of them things of the Outsider's Edge. You listen right now to your boy Raz, aka Ray Cash. Let me introduce first the Kota to my Kenny, my brother. Kyle, how you doing, man?
Oh, you know, I'm doing great, man. Back to school season. I got students again, and I'm back on that grind.
So I, you know, 2 weeks in a row was a bit too much. So my boy Carl is out tonight. He had such a great and critically acclaimed return that he went on a podcast tour from the podcast, and now he's in Greenland right now. That's no other reason he's in the news, Greenland's in the news, other than Carl's there. That's the only reason Greenland's in the news right now.
Yeah, Carl's actually the reason why Denmark refused to sell Greenland. He went to convince them.
So he's good at podcasts and columns, but he's not so good at diplomacy.
No, he's good at diplomacy. He went to convince Greenland not to sell.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. So he's great at diplomacy and... forgive your political affiliation for a second, but who the fuck would want to sell Greenland anyway? Anyway, it's been a hell of a week, guys. Had a lot going on in the world of pro wrestling. Had a lot going on in the world in general. The world hates Jay-Z now. That's something I have to get used to.
Yeah, I really get why, but like, okay.
Yeah, we'll have the conversation off air because I don't want this to turn. The Outsider's Edge politics podcast records on Fridays. But before we get anything started tonight, breaking news. I feel it important to wish well wishes and congratulations to the man and her man. Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins are officially engaged as of tonight. Oh. So congratulations.
Congrats, good for them. I'm glad they have more real-world chemistry than they do character chemistry. Never wrestle together again.
If you have watched, if you watched Seth Rollins' WWE Chronicle on the award-winning WWE Network for only $9.99 a month, free for first-month subscribers.
Cheaper than Uncle Dave's shit rag, y'all.
Yes, yes, everything's cheaper than Uncle Dave's shit rag. They had impeccable chemistry on that. You can tell, as Kyle said, they have great chemistry in real life. Just didn't work on screen. Shit happens, right?
Yeah, everybody can't be a good on-screen couple. Just because you a good real-world couple don't mean you good on screen.
And everybody can't be a great off-world couple like Charlotte and Andrade. You know they just fucking like crazy. Like rabbits.
I mean, when you're genetically superior and an idol, that's what you do.
I want him to start calling himself El Rey instead of El Idolo. Because would that not be hilarious?
I mean, he's going to call himself the king. All right. That's cool.
Not just because it means king, but because who is he trying to knock off the crown, off the throne?
I mean,
Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, but if he starts calling himself El Rey, the El Rey Network going to get all pissed. And, you know, they're going to send Prince Puma in.
Oh, because we're scared of him.
I mean... Shit, can I tell you something? You think I'm bullshitting, but I'm not when I say I would take Prince Puma over King Ricochet in a second. Because
no.
I at least find Prince Puma engaging.
Prince Puma wasn't engaging because backstory was.
Exactly.
That's engaging. I hear you, but I appreciate. You know me. I'm a character entertainment guy. I love characters, backstories, stuff you can delve into. But I appreciate a blank slate. Ricochet is a blank slate, and you could do what. Let me flip
he's
it for
blank,
you.
Blank in a lot of ways.
Stop hating. Let me flip it for you.
He great Let's in the ring, and that's about it.
Okay, let me flip it for you.
Real great in the ring, like real great.
I got you. Let me flip it for you. Look at my boy Buddy Murphy. Buddy Murphy was a blank slate, 3 weeks,
and now he's all he needed was to get out of 205 Live to actually be relevant.
First and foremost, look, okay, I'm going to bring Brian on, and we're going to cut you out simultaneously. Secondly, okay.
That's fine. Love you,
Buddy Murphy was relevant on 205 Live.
Okay,
you just don't care.
He was relevant on 205 Live, but like. I'm not the only one that just don't care. The majority of the WWE fan base don't care.
Well, I ain't talking to them. I'm talking to you. And out of deference to me, let my boy make it. Okay?
I'm letting him make it. All I said is who to guess. All he needed was to get out of 205 to be relevant.
I appreciate that, if nothing else, the company very clearly gives a fuck about him. Because they don't throw him in this accidentally or on purpose. And then let him go one-on-one, toe-to-toe Roman Reigns. And then let him beat Daniel Bryan. They don't believe it, dude. This isn't no flash in the pan, two-week story. Very clearly, they believe in dude as a player.
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. Yeah. Like, beating Daniel Bryan is the big point. Like, he's been the focal character of the show for the last 3 weeks. But, like, other than that, like, beating Daniel Bryan clean in the ring with the finish. Like, yeah.
That's important, that's folks, huge. For those of you listening, because like roll-up shit happens all the time. Fluke shit happens. He beat that man with his finishing maneuver. He got out of the yes lock, the LaBelle lock.
He overcame Rowan at ringside.
Shout out to my boy, Buddy Murphy. Now all we got to do is
and
give him
Murphy's
dubstep.
Murphy's Law is a pretty cool fucking finisher. I'm not
Murphy's kidding. Law is an amazing finisher.
But
and a better
yes,
V-trigger.
Give him his dubstep back.
And a better V trigger than Kenneth, but give him the dubstep. But yeah, we're talking other stuff. There's one major thing we have to talk about before we can get to anything else.
Well, I mean, speaking of Buddy Murphy being on SmackDown Live, which currently airs on the USA Network,
hashtag journalism.
The USA Network's got some interesting programming turnover. Necessitated by what exactly again, Brother Rance?
Well, you ask me and you ask other people, we'll give you different answers. Many people seem to believe that, well, NXT, September 18th, is starting to air every Wednesday, live, 2 hours, from Full Sail, on the USA Network. They have got called... They're not calling up individual wrestlers anymore. They called up the entire brand.
The entire brand. Everybody. Everybody going on television.
But to answer your question, many people will say this was to offset AEW because there was already... NXT's been on Wednesdays since 2015. Probably before that.
Can I just say, before we even finish this argument, can I say, if you're one of those people, you have missed the mark so fucking badly that I'm not even sure you know what the mark looks like anymore.
Talk to him.
Like, first of all, it has been rumored for over a year since WWE signed the Fox deal in the first fucking place. Mm-hmm. And they said that other programming would be coming to FS1. What was the first thing on everybody's motherfucking tongue? NXT. Oh, NXT is going to get called up to Fox Sports 1. NXT is going to go to FS1. Flash forward all this time period. And now it turns out they're going to the USA Network. Now, the controversy that's really causing this is the fact that the USA Network relies heavily on a certain closeted homosexual... and his family, and yes. As out homosexual, I can say that shit. Like, I'm allowed to call it what I sees it. Mm-hmm. So they rely on a very wealthy closeted gay man and his family to push a lot of television product. Mr. Todd Chrisley and his wife about to go to jail for a long motherfucking time. A long motherfucking time. They got caught Wesley Snipesing, y'all. They didn't pay their taxes.
And he made it worse because apparently, I don't know the specifics, but there's something with him and his daughter where he blackmailed his daughters for something because his daughter apparently has a sex tape and he's holding that over her head, which can be another charge. And that makes them toxic.
This is not the daughter, and this is not the daughter that's on television, y'all.
Oh, it's another daughter.
Yeah, no, because he's got two other kids that aren't on television.
I didn't know that.
Because he has, like, shit for relationship with them. That one little baby girl that's on that show all the time is like his grandchild or some shit.
Oh, okay. See, yeah. Thank you for explaining that. I had no idea.
There's all kinds of fucked up drama. I know more about that person than I wish I knew. Like, mm-hmm. I really wish I didn't know all these things. Mm-hmm. But not the point. Point is, y'all, as a history teacher, I can tell you this. Don't try to defraud the IRS. They will find you.
Mm-hmm.
Al Capone killed thousands of people. Thousands of people imported illegally millions of dollars worth of alcohol during Prohibition. Never got caught doing any of that shit. Al Capone went to Alcatraz because he ain't pay his taxes.
Yep.
The IRS gonna find your ass. So the Chrisleys are going to jail. Mm-hmm. And since the Chrisleys are going to jail, that means all them little reality shows that have been airing on a USA Network and bringing them in all them ratings mm-hmm. are gonna go poof. So who's USA's only other cash cow that creates original content? Literally only other entity that creates original content for them.
Titan Towers, y'all.
And Titan Towers has a ready-made television product that is already airing on a network that they are easily able to just platform on over to the USA Network. And they're going to get paid $90 million to do it. Which means for the first time in a long time, NXT might not even run at a loss. They might break even.
Yeah.
They might even turn a profit.
Yep.
But they should at least break even. But no, because in the meantime, what's happened is we've all drank the Kool-Aid mm-hmm. of AEW. And so now anything that AEW does is, you know, A-OK hunky-dory. But anything WWE does is just a reaction. Ah. No, we haven't been talking about putting NXT on national television for over a year. No, they literally just now decided to do that because of AEW.
There's every the past 2 years, there's a thing that USA Network has. It's called WWE Week. So during the holidays, they have a special episode of Raw, special episode of SmackDown, and then they'll do like special episodes of Miz and Mrs., which is WWE show on USA Network. And you know, and some of the other shows they have,
they're about to premiere a new fucking show starring Steve Austin.
It's already premiered.
Yeah.
That's a WWE show. But they do this during WWE week, especially because it's, they put other stars
to the troops that week.
Yes.
And on they the put Thursday.
Other, and they put other stars on like shows, but you know what they put on Wednesday, the past 2 weeks on their week,
but NXT.
NXT. That's, you think they're doing that on accident? They were doing that to gauge how well NXT would do under a regular cable audience. So, like, these things are happening way in advance, but we're too ignorant to see them because we want to drink the Kool-Aid, as you said.
It's not that we're too ignorant to see them. We're choosing to ignore them because people saw them and pointed them out. And now the exact same people who said a year ago, oh, NXT is going to end up on FS1, bet NXT ends up on FS1. Those exact same motherfuckers are out there in these streets talking this bullshit about how this is in reaction to AEW.
And
exact people.
And then let's go even further than that. You know what really annoys me about the situation that like really grinds my gears about it? NXT's been on Wednesdays for like six years. So like who took what day? You know what I'm saying? So like let's call a spade a spade. But people, I've read a lot of reactions saying that, oh, well, their Wednesday didn't count because it was streaming, not on cable. Bitch, you watched. So what does it matter? Well, you watched.
And to the people talking about, why don't they just put it on Tuesday? Motherfucker, when you're working with a television network, you don't get to pick and choose your time slot. You take the slot they give you.
Mm-hmm.
USA Network gave them their regular Wednesday time slot that they had already fucking had.
Mm-hmm.
Even if WWE is a big cash cow for USA, which it is, they still don't get to call them and say, hey, you're going to air me on this day at this time.
Same reason AEW's on Wednesday, because they want a Tuesday. You don't believe me? They have the IP, whatever it's called, the trademark. It's the
property trademark.
For Tuesday Night Dynamite.
Yeah. So they want a Tuesday. They didn't get Tuesday. You don't get to just dictate to people. Because you know what else would be different if they did? If they could pick and choose, Raw would still only be 2 hours, y'all. Raw is still 3 hours because USA wants it to be 3 hours.
And SmackDown wouldn't keep changing nights over and over and over again. Because when they go to Fox on October 4th, they're not going on Tuesdays like they are now.
They're going back to Friday. The network that distributes your content tells you when you get to air. The network is airing them on Wednesday.
I think you have a couple of shows that kind of have the ability to maybe not tell, but to have tenure, because Monday Night Raw has been on TV for 25 plus years. So they have a little seniority in that, okay, this is a Monday show. But every show isn't 25 year every night without missing an episode Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. So they, like, the people that are saying, well, why didn't they take a different day or why didn't they take a different time? They took the time that they were allowed. Why did they do this deal when they did it? Because you ain't going to turn down $90 million, especially if you're Vince and you're trying to launch a football company.
Right. And let's call a spade a spade. I'm not so ignorant to not think that some of this doesn't have anything to do with offsetting AEW. They'd be stupid not to. The issue isn't that. The issue is people thinking that's the catalyst for the move. That they didn't think about doing any of this until AEW set their date. That's just factually incorrect.
But, you know, I still have an even bigger issue with it than that. And my issue goes back to something that I said last week. I said the week before. I've said the week before. And I'm going to probably keep saying for the rest of the year.
Go away, Randy Orton?
Well, yes. Just go away. But, no. Everybody love fucking competition and talking about how they need competition because competition makes them better and blah, blah, blah. Until people start acting like it's a competition. Then all of a sudden it's bullying. No, motherfucker, you said you wanted competition. But the second that they treat it like a competition, oh, well, they're just going to snuff it out before it succeeds. If it's good enough, it'll succeed anyway.
Well, you speaking about that, talk about your boy Chris Jericho and all the nonsense he's been spitting.
You mean the blatant hypocrisy of Chris Jericho saying originally, oh, it's definitely a war, even if we don't want it to be, it just is because that's the way it's perceived. And then just a week or so ago saying, no, it's not a war. We don't want a war. That's not what it is. People just don't understand.
A week or so ago? That was Monday. He said that Monday.
Shit.
And I don't think he's being hypocrite. I think he's legitimately drunk all the time. So he doesn't remember what he says.
He's legitimately drunk all the time.
He doesn't remember what he says. Because it's so blatantly out there. You know, like, Google your name, dog. It's the first thing that pops up. So that is, and I appreciate Kenny Omega when he talks a lot of the times, puts his foot in the mouth. But he realizes I shouldn't talk much. And I appreciate that about him. But the rest of the guys, like, people are saying that AEW, like WWE, is they're insecure and they should let AEW have their night and they're taking advantage of whatever. Let's not forget that this entire AEW thought process happened when they invaded Raw or SmackDown, whatever show it was.
They invaded in the parking lot.
Number one, when they were in contract negotiations in which they themselves have said that they were a second away from signing, they had a character on being the elite as Triple H being a greedy, ridiculously stupid, caricature of himself that they made fun of every week and then super kicked off the show. That's number two. Then let's not talk about the fact that where was the press conference for all Elite Wrestling at? It was in Jacksonville where they're housed. The 2 hours before SmackDown in Jacksonville, two miles away. Then, you know, it's like, so like you're talking about WWE.
But again, when they do it, it's okay because everybody's drank the Kool-Aid. Because when they do it, it's creating competition. Mm-hmm. And they're fighting the big guy. Mm-hmm. And blah, blah, blah. When it's responded in kind, and not even in kind, it's responded lesser.
Yeah.
Because, like, these are low punches, y'all. These are not like the haymakers. We're swinging, like, jabs.
People try to say that Cody breaking the throne at Double or Nothing is exactly the same as Triple H saying they're a pissant company. Look at them in context. Triple H made a joke based off a joke that Billy Gunn started. Billy Gunn, the head producer for AEW. Triple H wouldn't have made that joke if Billy Gunn would have made that joke. This was a DX segment. You've watched DX for 25 years. You know what they do. But Cody had to strategically plan that. Not only that. Forget the buildup to the throne and
that was such and a all grandiose that. And unnecessary spot.
Right.
Oh my God.
But here's the thing. You can say he got that out of the system. What was on Pro Wrestling Tees the very next day? The Throne Breaker. So like these are planned out attacks, and you take two moments. Triple H saying pissant and Vince saying blood and guts. We're not blood and guts. And y'all have taken those few minuscule moments and like overanalyzed the ever loving fuck out of them.
Oh, because people are looking for anything and everything that fuels the narrative that they're trying to build. Any shred of evidence that continues their preconceived narrative that WWE is going to sabotage AEW before it gets a chance, so that if, and I'm not saying they're gonna, but if they fail, then these same people can point to all these little narratives that they've been trying to make and say, well, the only reason AEW failed is because Vince sabotaged it.
Well, you know what? I want to get back into NXT real quick, and we're going to talk about this topic later. Let's talk about a reason why AEW might fail, possibly. There's one Jon Moxley, who was the biggest signing they've made so far. I mean, outside of Chris Jericho, which is probably their biggest signing altogether. But Moxley legitimized them. I think Jericho gave them legitimacy as a company, but Moxley gave them legitimacy as something that people would watch and something that could stand, maybe not toe-to-toe, but next to WWE, right? Jon Moxley's injured again, y'all. Jon Moxley has another elbow injury.
Same elbow.
And from what we're hearing, it's an infection. But
severe enough that they are altering the bookings for his matches, putting him in tag matches, keeping him from taking bumps. Like, they are going out of their way.
But the interesting thing about the injury is it didn't occur in AEW ring. It didn't happen in something AEW sanctioned. It happened in Japan. So this idea that the boys are running the boys and the boys are writing for the boys and the boys are letting the boys be boys, I appreciate the notion of, as much as anybody else, of what that could be. But when you let wrestlers do what they want and book their own stuff and create other contracts outside of your main contract, when you're a major, nationally televised, booked company like AEW is, this is the stuff that happens. So if Moxley's pulled from All Out, I'm not saying he will. I haven't heard that chatter. I haven't heard that rumor. I'm not saying this is even a concern. But just hypothetically speaking, if this injury is bad enough that he gets pulled from All Out, what you gonna think? That's their first big show.
Well, I think you made a really cognizant point when we first discussed this topic earlier today, Rance, in that like this is why companies like WWE NE, companies like WWE don't let people book outside dates with other companies. Or if they do allow them to do so, it's like heavily restricted in terms of what they can do or how physical they can be. Like,
and they have a partnership. Tear
down their move set. And yeah, it's always with a company that they have an active partnership with.
Yep.
And, well, I mean, shit. He hurt himself in New Japan. New Japan's a good example of what we're talking about, though. New Japan don't just, like, send people that are under exclusive contracts with them out to companies they don't have working relationships with.
Nope.
The people like the Bucks got to go work wherever the fuck they wanted, but the Bucks weren't under an exclusive New Japan contract. They were under a featured New Japan contract. Mm-hmm. People that are under those exclusive ass deals, they don't work all them fucking international dates, and they only go work things like Mania, Rev Pro. Yep. You know, CMLL, only with those companies that they've got those excursion deals and shit with, for just that exact reason, so that at least if your person goes out and gets hurt, you know that you've got that relationship with that other company that's been furthered by it. You're going to get something out of it in the future. If you need to take one of their people temporarily to fill that hole, the reciprocity will be there, because that's just a rub for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's why that shit happens. I hope he doesn't end up having to miss extensive time, but, like, I have worries with this being a recurring injury, same arm, similar injury, gross infection to go along with it. I have concerns about the long-term viability of that arm.
His health, and of that arm,
specifically, if he doesn't, like, alter his moveset at all or his style at all.
And the irony of... Again, I've used irony a lot involving this today, whether in public or in person. And I please understand, I don't mean irony from the state of I take any pleasure in him being hurt. None of that. I hate that he's hurt. Like, I'm a Shield mark. So, of course, I have all the love in the world for Jon Moxley, Dean Ambrose, whatever you want to call him. But when I mean irony, I mean that it is totally ironic to me in the situations that he felt so restricted from WWE because he couldn't do the shit he wanted to do. And the shit he wanted to do, legitimately, I'm not jumping to conclusions, was cuss and wrestle death matches. And now you have another terrible elbow injury that take a bump on that bad elbow on barbed wire and see what happens.
I was going to say, in one of them death matches, get a nasty-ass staph infection. And the thing is, for people that think that we're, like, making light of, or not so much making light of the situation, but taking it, like, too severely, y'all, if he gets a fucking staph infection from a bad bump on that same elbow, you could lose your fucking arm.
Well, you know what? You know how to explain that? Go watch WWE Chronicle with Dean Ambrose when he came back. You wonder why Dean Ambrose was gone from a triceps injury for over a year? He almost died because he got a staph infection, and he almost died. Like, that's not kayfabe died. Real life died.
And with those things recurring, doctors see shit like that on a chart and see those are recurring problems, and that eventually that tissue gets necrotic and it gets to a point where a doctor's like, yo, it might be good for us to just, like, cut it off to the elbow.
For those of you who don't understand what he's saying, let me put it in a better perspective. A couple of years ago, I had a surgery. I had to remove my tonsils and a whole bunch of other things for some medical issues I had. I got a blood clot in my right leg from the surgery. 2 years later, had no problem with it. I still take a Bayer aspirin every day because my doctor tells me I have to, because once you've had a blood clot, you're more susceptible to have a blood clot. The way the body works is when you have something that is traumatic to the body, you're more apt and more likely to have it again. Now, staph infection.
I had major reconstructive knee surgery just over a year ago. The doctor told me I may never run on that leg again.
Yeah.
Because of the severity of the injury, the type of surgery I had to have, the fact that I'm not an athlete, so I wasn't in like peak shape at the time. Like, the doctor was straight up, he was just like, listen, you might be able to run again. You might never be able to run again. You need to be okay with that.
And how old are you?
I'm 29 years old, not almost 30. I just turned 29 last
week. There you go. So we're not exaggerating when we say that this could be. Now, again, I know Kyle isn't the most religious man, so thoughts to him from my end, prayers to him. I hope things are okay. I hope he wrestles on the 31st, because that's a match I'm looking forward to watching.
Absolutely. We're fans of his, y'all. Like, we are coming from a position of love and concern.
100%. But we also want to point out, like, if we're going to point out the ills of WWE, we have to point out the ills of everything. And this is, and this might not, again, it might end up being an issue, but these are the things that could cause major issues with companies.
Well, and especially a company struggling to establish brand and recognition outside of its core audience. I think the number one struggle that they're going to face that the core fans don't understand is that outside of core fans, people don't know that roster. We know that roster because we're hardcore fans. And there are even still some people on that roster that I'm like, I've heard that name a couple of times, but like, I ain't ever seen them have a match before. And I'm a pretty hardcore wrestling fan. I host a fucking podcast.
I have... If you guys hear the joke all the time that both Kyle and Carl say, I'm the most diehard of the three of us.
Absolutely.
I've never heard of Private Party until I saw them get signed. I never heard of the Dark Order. What are they called? Super Smash Brothers? Never heard of them before that. And they're getting a huge push. Like, I heard of Jack Evans because of TNA, but Angelico, I'd heard of but never seen him. I don't know, except for Aja Kong. I don't know none of the Joshi wrestlers. You know, so, like, and again, good to them.
Good. And, I mean, that can be a good thing, you know, especially if you want your identity to be that you're an alternative, you're a different product. That can all work to your favor, absolutely. But, like, you got to build something, and you need a Moxley who's a familiar face to help pull in those fans that you might claim you don't want around, but a company needs around. A company needs casual fans.
Now, one thing that might help Moxley and him healing is that they're not doing house shows yet.
No.
I know Tony Khan has talked about that they're going to do house, like, live shows eventually, but they won't do a house show loop like WWE does. They might run like 50 a year or something. But Moxley is scheduled to wrestle 2 out of the next 5 dates. But that, hopefully that'll help. But then for that to help, Moxley can't take other dates. He's going to have to really sit at home and heal. So, let's go back to NXT for a second.
Well, let's talk about, you know, because I like to journalism, so let me journalism. We were talking about how an injury like Moxley's could ruin the start of AEW on TNT.
Mm-hmm.
One thing people are saying might ruin NXT's move to USA is people are convinced that if NXT's moving to USA, that means Vince is getting involved. What's your thoughts?
Well, first and foremost, anybody that says that very clearly doesn't pay attention to facts.
What I mean by that is, said before, they've missed the mark so badly they don't even know what it looks like anymore.
What I mean by that is, in particular, is that just a few weeks ago on the investor call for Q2, Vince said, I hired Paul Heyman and I hired Eric Bischoff to run the major 2 flagship shows because I cannot be in the weeds anymore. I cannot do everything. I need to take a step back. So if he's doing that for shows that he is notoriously so hands-on that, if you believe the stories, he's changing scripts
while daily.
The show, not about daily, while the show is airing, you think he's going to say, oh, no, screw that. I'm going to take over a show I've never touched before?
I was going to say, he's going to get involved in a show that he literally only pays attention to at TakeOver when he's sitting in Gorilla.
So it's like, and when y'all, when we say sitting in Gorilla, he's not sitting in his chair. He's standing behind Triple H watching.
Yeah.
So, you know, and let's play devil's advocate here. If he does put his hands on NXT, maybe y'all call me drinking the Kool-Aid of Vince. That's fine. I don't give a fuck. But I want to see positives because I understand that y'all got a sour taste of him in your mouth right now because he's not kissing your ass like you want him to. But everything you love about wrestling, Vince McMahon built. And that's not an exaggeration. And I don't know very many people who have never watched any WWE wrestling, only watched Japan, Mexico, Brit. Like, 99% of all wrestling fans started from something Vince built or Vince bought. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if that's like saying, hey, Coke sucks because I don't like Fanta. What?
Here are already all the positives that are coming from the move. Increasing NXT from 1 hour to 2 hours is going to help them with something that we've talked about a lot over the last few months.
Mid-card. They've got a
glut of talent on that show that don't ever get to be there.
Keith Lee being number one.
Well, you got Keith Lee, you got Dijakovic, you got
Kushida.
Kushida hasn't like really had much of anything.
Bianca Belair ain't been on the show in a month.
I mean, well, and that's just it. So, you know, it gives some of the acts that are back down there rehabbing, like, well, I say rehabbing as in like rehabbing their image. You know, get Breezango some more time. Let them have some great tag team matches with people. Take some pressure off the Street Profits.
Killian Dane just beat Matt Riddle.
Yeah. So, like, give these people more time. It allows more of the roster to shine. And a second hour can really help the division that needs it most right now, the women desperately need a second hour so that they can start establishing some of the new women, strengthening some characters. I'm expecting I'll give you four names I expect to see a lot more of with an extra hour of NXT.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Chelsea Green.
Okay.
Keith Lee.
Okay.
Kushida.
Okay.
And I think we're going to get a lot more Bianca.
Well, Bianca for sure, because Vince knows he got money in her. But I would argue that before we get a lot of Chelsea Green, you got to get a lot of Deonna Purrazzo. Because she...
I always forget Deonna is there. That's how bad it is. I always forget Deonna is there.
She's established on NXT TV because she was the girl that got kicked in the face, knocked out by Asuka, and then she came back, got hired, wrestled before a takeover. Like, she's been established on TV there. And her character's easier to get over than anything Chelsea will do. It's easy to say, hey, I break arms for a living. That's easier than anything Chelsea would do because Chelsea's stuff is really, really intricate. And you can pop her out. And no diss to Chelsea Green, but Deonna Purrazzo's a better wrestler.
Deonna's a better wrestler, but the reason I think we're going to get more Chelsea on a two-hour NXT is, number one...
Character.
But number two, that second hour allows them to do what you've got to do with a Chelsea, which is slowly build that character.
Absolutely.
Because her character is a bipolar, like, psycho chick who just spazzes on people.
Mm-hmm. The hot mess.
You got to build that. You can't be a hot mess overnight. You got to build that shit.
We have to know why you're a hot mess. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that's one of the best storylines in that company we don't talk about's history was her becoming the hot mess bride and the entire thing that built up to that. They spent months.
Yeah, her devolving. Not evolving, devolving. Yeah.
They spent months establishing Laurel Van Ness.
That's the one thing Grado's ever done I liked.
Yeah, like they spent months with that, and the payoff was so good because that character is choice.
I think so. Speaking of that, I still want to get to some more intricacies of the NXT and AEW and whatever, but I am curious to see, do you think that there will be some crossover and some guys will come over? to NXT? Do you think they'll still move some guys over to other brands? How do you think the talent wise is gonna work with 2 hours?
Okay, so I wouldn't be surprised if, at least not right away, we won't see them, because I really do expect the first couple of tapings to just be, or the first couple episodes to just be finishing out the set of TVs that they had already taped.
Okay.
Because, like, otherwise you're just going to, for people who actively do view NXT, otherwise you would just be, like, hard rebooting everything.
Sure.
In, like, mid-storyline. So I firmly expect the first couple of tapings, maybe only a first week or two, to be, like, finishing out whatever their last set of full sales was.
Okay.
But that being said, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some established stars every now and then in the beginning just to build that brand up for the national audience.
Mm-hmm.
But I do still expect talent to shuffle between the brands. What I don't expect to see anymore is we're not going to see NXT as pure developmental the way that it used to be.
Yes.
I think that you're going to see a lot more of people being kept in the performance center until they're ready to debut. I also think they're going to start using things like Evolve and that working relationship they've got with Gabe to be like, hey, we've got these people that are done with PC, but they're not really ready for TVs yet. Can we build some character with you?
So I've been saying for months now that NXT is has three purposes. NXT is a touring brand that's separate from the other two functions.
Yep, you got something like the Largo loop.
There you go.
The touring loop.
They run two tours at a time. The Largo loop with the people who are learning and like a couple people who sell it, and then they run the loop that they go dip like around the country. They have the developmental brand, the performance center part, and then they have the third brand, which is officially now the third brand. And yes, I believe Evolve will eventually replace On the Network as their developmental place.
I think you see some of the signs of that already in the fact that Austin Theory was in the latest NXT signing class.
Yes.
Like, he was in the latest signing class. So, like, that's built, you know. That Evolve connection that they've been building over the last few years has really paid off for them. I think that what really sealed the deal for them is the improvement of the Street Profits. I really think that how much Dawkins and Ford like improved in doing those dates with Evolve and figuring those characters out and how they came back to NXT so energized and blah, blah, blah. I think that really said to Triple H and to a lot of the people within WWE, like, that is our way to go if we're taking NXT further
up. Yeah. And they have a great talent base on their own.
Yeah.
But you still have NXT UK you can pull from. They still have working deals with Progress and WXW in Germany. They got all these possible deals. There was the rumor or the conversation that they were talking with CMLL about buying that or having some type of agreement with them.
New Japan would be so pissed.
They'd lose their shit.
New Japan would be so, because here's the thing, not only would they lose their working relationship with CMLL, they would lose the rights to the Los Ingobernables shit. Because that's all technically CMLL licensed.
Yep. So it's a lot going on. But I think the writing was on the wall, because you think about it, this is the longest we've gone on NXT without proper call-ups. The Undisputed Era has been there for a really long time. Gargano and Ciampa have been there forever. Dream has been there for a minute. Pete Dunne, who came back to NXT proper, has been there for a good little while. Shayna's been on top for damn near 2 years, it feels like. Like, Io Shirai's been there for a while now.
I mean, shit, Killian Dane is back, but, like, yeah. I know he was on SmackDown for a cup of coffee, but, I mean, like,
put it in perspective. The Undisputed Era won their first tag team championships from Sanity.
Yeah.
And Killian Dane's back.
Yeah.
So that goes to show you, like,
I mean, shit, Tyler Breeze is back. Not for nothing.
Yeah. And speaking of Tyler Breeze, the Wesley Blake has been there as long as Dawkins has. Just yeah, about.
Not for nothing. We started the show with Big Shot Buddy Murphy. And need we remind the audience, Blake Murphy and Alexa Bliss used to be a thing. And that used to be a thing against Enzo, Cass, and Carmella.
That was the hot shit angle. The BAM factor. In fact,
Remember when we cheered super loud for fucking Blue Pants because she would come out and beat the shit out of Alexa?
If you go back to the very first TakeOver Brooklyn, Blake and Murphy were the champions that defended against the Vaude Villains.
Yup. And Blue Pants came out and beat the dog shit out of Alexa. And we all cheered for the Vaude Villains because...
It's crazy, brother.
Oh, that was good times. Hard to believe so many years ago.
It really is, and I'm so happy that Blake got saved from obscurity. I'm not Blake Murphy. I'm glad that Blake found something that fits him better, and I hope that they give something Aiden something more substantial than talking than the commentator.
Like even if they just made him a manager, like give him something to do. He's got too much charisma to just be there.
Yeah, but you know what? They need color guys. They need color guys because they can't rely on Nigel and Graves for everything.
Oh God, no! Because Graves is terrible. I don't care what anybody says.
I disagree with that. But I don't think Graves is terrible. And by all means, please keep your opinion is respected. But I think he's over. I think he's overworked. I think he's too everywhere. That what's good about him is now devalued because you hear him so much.
See, for me, what once came across as like good heel work now comes across to me as like really fringy tox mass, like gross shit. Like it used to come across as just like him and Phillips used to come across as just like Phillips is the straight and Graves was the heel commentator. And now almost everything Graves says comes across like really cringy and gross. And I'm just like, dude, Corey, tone it down, man. Put your tiki torch away.
Well, he is following in the footsteps of Jerry the King Lawler, so.
Oh, yeah. I fully believe that Graves probably has a tiki torch in his basement. But, like, I need him to keep it in his basement and not bring it to work.
Oh, no, Corey Graves. Anything you want to put a bow on the NXT thing? How do you think the actual war, what do you think about them starting a month before? Or 2 weeks before?
I think them starting 2 weeks before is in and of itself just like an, all right, you want to debut in October? That's cool. We'll have a show out for 2 weeks.
There's a
spite one.
There's a meme of them of Cody breaking the throne, and then Triple H sitting here, and the meme says Triple H just says, "I bet," and then you see September 18th.
I bet. No, that's my thing. Like, so, like, I do think that one's a little bit of a slight, but like, I'm cool with it because, like, I don't believe in double standard. If it's gonna be competition time, it's fucking competition time. Work, so, work, like, work. Shit. As far as like ratings war, I think that all depends on what your actual expectations are. Like, there's no pressure on NXT. None. People are going to try to say there is, but there's not, for a couple of reasons. Number one, NXT is the third brand. And they're the definitively third brand. Not like when we had WWECW that was allegedly the same as Raw and SmackDown, but it wasn't. NXT legitimately is the third other brand. That's number one. Number two, NXT is being aired on USA as all, like, I won't say as a favor, but it was like USA was in a pinch and offered you a boatload of money and was just like, yo, we'll let you keep the same time slot. Can we just like have this shit? Here's $90 million. So like you went from a brand that was operating at a loss to a brand that might break even this year overnight, instantly. And they went from being aired exclusively on the network to now airing on basic cable. So even if just the people that watched it on the network keep watching it, that's good enough.
Not to mention their
WWE standpoint.
Not to mention NXT will still be shown on the network the day after, which is something they don't do for live action shows.
Yeah, so like they're not losing anything out on that network exposure. They're not losing in terms of like there's pressure on them to put up numbers because there's no pressure because if USA was going to pressure them to put up numbers, USA wouldn't have had to break out the emergency funds to scramble their asses onto television.
In case of emergency, spend $100 million.
No, but like, and for people that don't know anything about television, this is definitely an emergency funds thing. We're about to start fall television season, and this was announced a week ago. So, like, this was a down-to-the-wire, holy shit, the fall season's starting and we don't have content. Let's break open glass type shit. So, absolutely. Like, there's zero pressure from USA for them to pull numbers. WWE doesn't have pressure on NXT to pull those numbers because only WWE knows how many people watch it live on the network. And we don't really know that.
So how do you feel about AEW? Do you think they have pressure?
I think AEW has all the pressure is in this situation. And that's why I'm saying, like, from NXT's standpoint, like, their end of this is cakewalk. Anything they get is gravy, is bonus. People have more television time now. Their brand's going to do better. All of them motherfuckers are about to get raises.
Every single one of them. Every single one of them.
People's downsides are about to go up. So, like, everybody's going to win there. From AEW's standpoint, though, like, all the pressure is on them. All of it. Number one, TNT is going to have pressure on them to pull actual numbers, especially because TNT's out here running commercials on TBS and Cartoon Network and shit. So, like, they are trying to get people to tune into this show.
And they're only signed for a year.
Yeah, they're only signed for a year. So they're putting in actual marketing. They're getting the name out there. They're doing all of that shit. Only signed for a fucking year. So, like, that's pressure on them to put up those numbers.
No, I do think AEW will do better numbers at first because it's the new shiny thing.
It's the new shiny thing. They will have hype and momentum. So, like, I fully do expect them to put up good numbers for the first week or two. I will be curious to see. I'm curious to see what numbers both shows are doing come December.
Yes.
And I'm curious again to see what kind of numbers both shows are doing.
This time next year?
Well, not even this time next year. Come Mania season. Like, ooh, when we get to peak wrestling time.
Ooh.
And I'm curious, regardless of competition, I'm curious to see if AEW on TNT gets a WrestleMania season ratings bump.
Oh, then I didn't think about that. It's a good point.
I'm curious, just because when are even the most casual of casual fans watching all the wrestlings?
Mania time, absolutely.
Exactly. So, like, even the, you know, and I'm also curious, I know they say they probably won't, and they talk a lot of good shit, but man, if AEW were to run a show in the Tampa, Orlando area during Mania season, I will rip them so mercilessly. But I will spend an entire podcast just making fun of them.
But Kyle, Cody said that they don't want to infringe upon the other WWE weekends.
Well, my little IWC friend, that's all well and good. But last I checked, Cody is not the person whose bank account is bankrolling them paychecks.
And he's also not the most trustworthy person.
Oh, yeah, there's the duplicitous factor. But last I checked, the Khan family still controlled the checkbook. If the Khan family tells your ass you're going to put a show on that fucking weekend, then your ass going to rent a venue, your ass going to put together a card, and your ass going to be in them tights come Mania weekend.
Yep, 100%. 100%. That, but that's interesting.
Say and what you do, we'll see. No, but I am genuinely curious to see if they get a WrestleMania season ratings bump because, like, I wouldn't be surprised because more people are interested.
Makes sense.
But yeah, I want to see what numbers both shows are doing come December and what numbers both shows are doing at that time of year.
I also, for me, I can't help but think I would have liked to have seen, if I had to pin, starting your TV the week after your big show. There's going to be a month between All Out and the first episode.
And they're now, still not actively touring, which, like, I don't know. Like, I can see it paying off, and I can see it backfiring in equal measure.
We have to just wait and see, yeah. But can you imagine how hot that crowd in D.C. would have been if that would have been the... So, August 31st oh, shit, that's this weekend.
Yeah.
Next weekend, yeah. August 31st is, what, a Saturday? So, what, September the 3rd,
mm-hmm.
essentially?
Mm-hmm.
Or September 3rd or 4th, whatever it was. Imagine how hot that show would have been coming right off of All Out.
That would have been when their momentum should
been the highest,
be at its highest. Yeah,
absolutely. So. And we're gonna break down All Out next week. We're gonna break down Takeover. Well, I'll break down Takeover Cardiff. And I do want to shout out the Royal Quest show, which actually looks really good. But All Out has finally rounded out into a decently well-rounded card. Still not enough stories for me, but they have a card now that is, you can look at it and say,
I think the thing, and I know we've said it ad nauseum, but it bears repeating. I think the thing that I do look forward to about them having finally an actual show come October is that I won't have to, like, go out of my way to try to find their fucking YouTube shit to keep up with the stories.
I don't think that's changing, though, man. It might not be the be-all, end-all, but
if you want to use it as supplemental, I'm fine with that, because I'm fine with only having the bare bones of what I get on the cable broadcast, because, like, you know, there was a time in my life 10 years ago when I was still in college and I had nothing but free time that I could, you know, sit and watch YouTube shit for like 12 hours out of my day. Yeah. I got a fucking job and shit. Like, I ain't got time to just watch YouTube clips of being the elite all fucking day. And, like, not to disrespect other people's jobs, but, like, I teach kids all day. So, like, I literally can't sit there and watch videos.
Yeah. I just the reason I say that is because, and this is to their positive, this is putting them over right now. They have built this, for lack of a better term, empire, strictly and solely off of social media. Everything about All In was based off
organic
of social media.
Organic social media, absolutely.
100% social media.
Understanding of modern marketing.
Everything about starting the company. With social media, not everything, but a good portion of everything about Double or Nothing, because they had no TV, was social media. So I don't see that it's been so good for them, and it will bite them in the ass eventually, as social media does everybody. But it's been so positive and so influential for them and so important to them, I don't think they'll ever let that aspect go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying they're going to have 30-minute episodes of Being the Elite that are canon to the TV show. But I just don't think the TV show, as you said, will be everything.
Well, no. And, like, and again, I would be totally fine if they want to make shit like BTE and stuff like that, supplemental material, additional details, like deeper look at XYZ. I'm just looking forward to, once they have a TV show, at least the bare bones of the story should be on the fucking TV show.
Absolutely.
If I don't go out of my way to watch all their extra stuff, I should be able to keep up with what's going on just by watching the weekly TV.
And that is what, in my opinion, Jim Ross should be over. Jim Ross should be over all aspects of how they tell stories and in what medium. Because if one thing that man knows, he's seen every story told.
He's a good storyteller.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So we got a couple of things I want to get to before we get too late. Number one is if you watch SmackDown this week, it was advertised and delivered that Daniel Bryan and Rowan, they called him Eric again for a reason, wink, wink, found the culprit of Roman Reigns, who attacked him. And turns out it is Daily DDT fan-sided. They did a big expose, quote-unquote, that it's Merrick Rowan, his twin brother. who because of... It's hilarious, but the story goes that Eric Rowan got brainwashed by Bray, and then he left the family, and they lost all their business. But it all comes down to because Tom Phillips said something that he lied, and they braced from Lafayette, but they wiped out from... It's hilarious. But it's a man who looks exactly only like Eric wrestling. Rowan.
Only wrestling.
It's a man who looks like Eric Rowan, and the beauty of it is, and little cues, you have to pay attention to the small details of the story like my nerd ass does. All show, David Otunga kept saying Daniel Bryan went to extensive work and money to figure out who it was. Okay, you've seen how bad they've beat up Buddy Murphy last week. Buddy Murphy beat Bryan clean that night. The guy willingly walked into the room and sat on a chair as Eric Rowan does backwards, willingly with the towel over his head for an hour and a half, 2 hours. When they revealed him, him and Rowan looked at each other and literally did the Lucy and Harpo Marx mirror thing where they just looked at each other and kept moving the same way. Roman looked confused. Rowan looked confused. Bryan looked high off of life. So, the story's not over by a long shot. But were you underwhelmed by the quote-unquote reveal?
Underwhelmed? No. But only wrestling. When I think of some of the crazy, ridiculous, outlandish shit that this great medium has offered me, this is right up there with them. A ridiculously fake scaffolding attack with poor camera angles, poorly executed by people who honestly are better than that. Screw-ups and snafus of Murphy being caught in the camera when he wasn't supposed to be, so now we have to thrust him into the middle of the story, only for the actual story that Murphy was thrust in the middle of to have been a much shittier story on its own. It's been greatly improved by Murphy's involvement. Because, like, legit, I'm not anti this story right now at all, and the reason I'm so engaged in it has nothing to do with Roman and Daniel and Rowan, and everything to do with Buddy Murphy.
Okay, I accept that.
Like, no, but like, legitimately, think about it. And I don't even say that as their biggest hater, but like, as much as you're a fan of Roman's, even, think about it. Would this story be as good if all we had was none of the Buddy shit and this was our reveal of Buddy, the Rowan doppelgangers?
Buddy and Joe saved the story. Absolutely. Yep.
Buddy and Joe have been the best parts of this story. Absolutely. Which makes total sense when you consider the five people we're talking about are Roman, Rowan, Buddy, Joe, Daniel Bryan, who are the most charismatic and interesting people of those five, naturally. Like, just naturally charismatic and interesting.
Well, Joe is number one.
Joe is number one.
Yeah.
Bryan and Buddy Murphy are both, like, in that two spot. And then Roman, then Rowan. So, like... Well, then,
also, you have to take into account the fact that while this is a story 100% solely about Roman and Bryan to an extent, talk about who are the two most giving superstars on the roster?
Well, they share the shine more than anybody.
So while this is about them, doesn't it behoove those two people to get other people over in their storyline more than them?
I mean, the person that they've gotten over is Buddy Murphy. Buddy Murphy is made in the mid card.
Well, not just Buddy Murphy, but Rowan will forever be. Rowan was always looked at as the third member of the Wyatt family.
And now he's Daniel's planeteer.
Right, but if Rowan was behind it, well, yeah, okay. But that's a step up, right?
Yeah.
At least Luke Harper was the general. Now he's the number one who, as you've seen and since he's gotten with Brian, has stepped out on his own.
Wrestled
much better.
I just thought of something, though. If it is his twin brother, he did it for the family.
Oh, God. I wish I could see his face. I wish you could see his face, dog. Oh, my God.
He asked why they did it for the family.
I did it for my people. Oh, man. That's great.
I think I just talked us both into loving this reveal.
Talked
us both into loving this reveal.
Oh God. I didn't hate it because to me, I looked at it as Brian trying to I found it funny. I found it as almost a joke. As Brian being too smart for his own good, which people try to be too smart and come off stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I took it as that because Brian said it is Rowan, so who did he find that it was? A motherfucker that looks just like Rowan. So very clearly it's Rowan. Yeah, so that's how I looked at it. But this motherfucker here did it for the family. Oh my god.
Twin brother, that's exactly what they need to do. They need to cut it back. Why, Rowan? Why?
And
did it for the family. I did it for my people.
Now, this is something only I would have noticed. But if you think about it, the past, ever since him and Brian hooked back up together again, what have they called Rowan? Have they called him Eric Rowan or Rowan?
I always thought they just called him Rowan.
What did they call him Thursday? I mean, Tuesday.
Well, all of a sudden he was Eric again. And Merrick, damn it.
I'm giving Kyle the look right now, like I told you. There's more to the story. So very clearly there's more to the story.
Yeah, we got to hear about how he did it for the family, and we got to hear about why.
Oh, and then Rikishi just happens to be walking by like, what? That's excellent.
Oh, this no, what they need to do is they need to have Rikishi start driving Roman to the ring.
This is why we don't book y'all. This is why they don't give us the pitch.
They give him the fucking microphone talking about, I wish a motherfucker would try to run over my nephew.
Well, as long as Rikishi's driving and not the Usos.
Oh, no.
Too soon?
They're never allowed to drive again. But hey, yeah. It's the perfect chance to rebirth the Samoan SWAT team. Coming out in an Escalade.
The bloodline coming out. Oh, man, being chauffeured.
With Naomi riding in the back with her fucking light-up shit.
Oh, my goodness.
We're just going to turn them into New Jack City, the Samoan version.
Y'all wonder why WWE doesn't give us the book. These are the reasons why.
All I'm saying is Jimmy and Naomi can be like, what's her face and the Dutta Man. And for a whole generation of our listeners, they have no idea what we talking about. Because they are not their brother's keeper.
Settle me. Oh, no. That shit gets on my nerves so much. He does shit too much for me. Settle me. Like, you don't got to do shit 27 times in the match, big dog.
It's all he's got, though. Well, I shouldn't say it's all he's got. It's all he's got in the States because he doesn't speak enough English to have literally anything else. And I'm not saying that to disrespect Pentagon. That's why he has to do it in the English-speaking markets because he still speaks very, very, very little English.
He's a good wrestler. Like, just fucking wrestle.
He's not Fenix, but it's also like Pentagon is all about being the character of Pentagon. And so like
that's fair.
He wants to do character stuff, but he can't do as much of it for English speakers as he can when he's like in Mexico.
I don't know many motherfuckers that wear face paint underneath their masks. So yeah, he believe in that shit. He believe in that. Okay. So, two other things I want to run through and we can get out of here. Positive or negative? You want to talk? You want to joke and laugh, or you want to talk serious? Which one you want to do?
Well, I mean, we've been joking and laughing, so why don't we get the rest of our laughs out, and then I'll let you cuss out the listeners to end the podcast.
Well, actually, the joke one is the one where I'm going to cuss them out.
Oh, all right.
Philip Jack Brooks, as you might know him.
Jack, short for Jackass.
100%. But he's his doing business name is one CM Punk. It's back in the news today. Now, I want to preface this with saying that this is a Meltzer story, so take this as you will. We know how he reports.
Oh, this is even worse than a Meltzer story. This is a Middleton story.
Dog, really?
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about it no more. No, but we're going to talk about it because you know what? It brings me joy. So apparently, CM Punk has a announcing deal with one of the lower feds that are on Fight Pass for MMA company. He calls color for them. But apparently, the story is that his agent, not him, but his agent, reached out to Fox about having Punk be one of the hosts for the WWE Studios show that starts in October. Hold on, let me finish. Let me finish because we are going to laugh. Let me finish. As the story goes, and as many Hollywood agents do, they normally call to see what jobs are available to bring them to their client. Mm-hmm. But knowing the long storied history of Punk and WWE, very clearly Punk has to know. And I say he has to know because the story adamantly says that Punk will be working for Fox and not for WWE, and that would be the caveat. Because it's a Fox show, so he'd work for Fox and essentially maybe do other shows, not for WWE.
Such a joke, I don't even know where to begin. But at the same time, you know what I say? Sincerely not joking. In an outside of the ring capacity, I would much rather have his wife than him. Like, honestly, I would much rather have AJ back involved as an on-camera personality than him. But that's just personal because he's such an asshole that I can't deal with the sight of him anymore. Whereas I don't despise just the sight of her.
You like AJ a lot more than I do.
I never hated AJ. Was the difference. Like, I never had a reason to dislike her because at the time that she rose to prominence, I was only very loosely watching, and by the time she was gone, or by the time I was back to, like, watching regularly, she was gone again.
So there were three ironies of this situation.
Oh, there's more than three, but, like, we'll only talk about three.
Yes, because we'll be here all night. Number one, the number one irony is Punk swore he'd never come back to wrestling and never work for WWE again. But yet he's asking to come back to talk WWE. That's ironic. Number two, everybody has convinced themselves that he's going to AEW. And for his ass to show up at the first studio show for WWE the week AEW starts would be hilarious. And number three, while the crux of his issues were probably with personally with Triple H, business perspective with Vince, he would be essentially taking direction from Vince, because if you work for WWE, you're going to have some directive of some form or fashion from the office if you're going to be in the studio show. So the irony of all three of those things happening, when all three of those things were things that he and his fans were adamant that would be the exact other way, just brings such a giddy laugh and joy to my soul.
You know, thing is, like, the reason it's not going to happen ain't going to be because of Vince, y'all. Like, the reason it's not going to happen is because Punk's a dick.
But hold on. Yep. What if Punk really wants it and WWE says no? Now, how would
WWE
that shit
WWE should say no, because Punk's a piece of shit.
They probably are going to say no, but how hilarious would that be?
You know what? You know who I want to see get the job instead of Punk? doesn't even have a connection to the WWE, but you know who I want to see get the job instead of Punk to spite Punk? Ooh. Cole motherfucking Cabana.
You know what? And he can use the money.
Yeah, that's what the fuck I'm saying. He ain't got no connection to WWE, but you know what? There is not a son of a bitch involved in wrestling who deserves a payday more. There's not somebody who I wouldn't love to see get that payday more.
And not a better person.
And that's what I'm saying. He is such a good human. He deserves it. And you ask any wrestler out there right now, who has done the most for the wrestling business outside of Titantown in the last 10 years? And to a man, even the Bucks will say Colt Cabana. Colt Cabana. Colt Cabana. Even 100%. The Bucks, Cody, Kenny Omega, all of them guys will say Colt Cabana's done more for independent wrestling in the last decade than anybody.
100%. That would be, and you, this is a personal thing for me, but so many people believe that WWE bankrolled Dr. Amen's his lawsuit against Colt and against Punk. Now, I'm not saying that there wasn't a chance they did. I'm saying it's egregious that people just assume they did because I think WWE has some type of vendetta, right? I think if WWE really had a vendetta against Punk, don't you think they would have hired Colt Cabana in some capacity by now?
Absolutely, they would have, because Punk and Cabana are so on the outs, it would be the ultimate fuck you to Punk.
Now, to your point, the perfect person for that role is Daniel Cormier. Especially since he just got knocked out by Stipe Miocic. I know you don't watch MMA or UFC. And he was already planning on retiring anyway. I think that would be the perfect gig because he's a huge WWE fan. Push come to shove, he's in shape enough and knows wrestling enough to get in the ring and wrestle a match or two. Mm-hmm. And he's a huge name. He's the biggest name in UFC that's not Conor McGregor or Jon Jones.
Oh, facts. All of those things are big facts.
So, I think he'd be perfect for them.
Oh, I do too. Like, I didn't throw Colt out there because I'm like, oh yeah, he's the guy that needs to get this job. But it's just like, if we're talking just what would give me the most unbridled joy.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
That's like, especially with these Punk rumors, it would give me so much joy for Colt to get the job instead. Because fuck CM Punk.
And then I think this goes to show people that number one, your hero, Punk, isn't as heroic as you think he is.
He's not a hero at all, y'all.
He's not, but they swear by him.
I know they do, but you know what? I'm at a point in my life where when I go to wrestling shows and people chant for CM Punk, I will get in a motherfucker's face and be like, y'all are fucking stupid. What is this shit? That guy is an asshole. He's a piece of shit, and he hates this art form that made him all this money. So why are you cheering for him?
They gave him his lifestyle.
And he hates you. Like, on record, does not like interacting with fans.
Yep. I'm so curious how his StarCast appearance is going to go.
Poorly.
Eventually, it probably will. You know he got into, he had an altercation with a fan at the MMA show he called the other day.
Sounds pretty accurate. Because... Yeah. The problem with Punk has always been that Punk is, you talk about somebody who, earlier in the show, someone who talks like they're so smart and they end up sounding dumb. That's Punk to a T. Punk is one of those people who thinks he knows everything. Mm-hmm. And the second you try to tell him otherwise, you're an idiot, and you're wrong, and you're fucked up.
Yeah, well, but his, to his credit... His Twitter bio says straight edge, atheist, sociopath. I think that describes to a T.
But I mean, straight edge is the indicative word. Most straight edge people have a stick up their ass. Yeah, I saw the stick when you sat down. You don't have to draw attention to it.
Thank you for that. Well, just because you said that, I won't designate to drive your ass home. Anyway,
That's what Uber is for anyway.
let's end the show on a positive note. WWE has started a podcast network, apparently. So, WWE, we for sale, y'all.
Call your boys.
Come out at us. And, and Greg, I know you're listening. It don't have to be just us. Bring the whole clique.
Take the whole crew.
Let's go.
Our production values will go through the roof. We won't have to worry about those Skype recorders.
Amen to that. Amen to that for real, for real. if you give us a little money behind this show, we will give you excellent content. And we're already a positive WWE show anyway.
Mm-hmm. We're so positive that we get accused of stanning.
Yes, absolutely. I am called on a regular basis a shill. People ask me all the time, how much do I get paid by Vince? Well, maybe you can really pay me.
Not nearly as much as y'all paying to suck Dave's dick.
Well,
worshiping at his fucking altar like he's the gospel.
I wish I could come up with some bullshit and charge $12 for it and people listen to it.
No, I think that's where we're fucking up. By not charging $12, people just see that it's bullshit. If we were charging them $12, they would have to convince themselves that it's not. Otherwise, why are they wasting 12 of their dollars?
Greg, are you listening? I think we figured this out.
I think that that's why people trust him. He got it right two or three times in the beginning. And then now it was just, oh, I'm paying you $12 of my money, so I have to look for all the things that you're saying right and ignore all the things you're saying wrong. Otherwise, why am I paying you?
I'm actually about to say something positive about Meltzer. And so I need to check my temperature and my blood pressure when we end the show. But Meltzer is a good historian in that he's been covering the shit so much, however you look at the word cover, that he has seen everything that's happened. So from a historical perspective, if you're just saying what happened, like on screen, he's great. It's the journalistic part of him that's accessible. So, but why go from journalism when we journalism just as great? We went to journalism for this.
Yeah, we journalismed so hard today. We journalismed at least four topics today.
100%. To put a bow on the podcast thing, one, do you think that it'll be wrestlers or regular people? And two, do you think they jumped in the game too late?
The answer to number two is definitely yes, because the podcast boom, as it were, really is...
slowed down a bit?
Well, it's slowed down significantly. Realistically, podcasts are really just a millennial and young Gen Xer thing.
I think the market's flooded too, yeah.
Yeah, well, the market is flooded with so many different ones, but, like, your audience is limited. Because, like, I teach high school for a living, and, like, high school kids, they don't listen to fucking podcasts.
Yes.
They don't. I don't know if they grow up and start listening to them, but, like, at least at the age that they're at, high school kids don't really listen to podcasts. Some college kids might by the end, but, like, early college age, nah, like your target age for podcasts right now is like mid-20s to early 40s.
I'd agree. Because the younger people got more stuff to do.
Younger people have more shit to do. And, you know, podcasts are the type of thing that like really lend themselves to, you know, I get a lot of time to listen to my podcast because I have to commute to work.
Yes. So
commuting can be a lot of things. If you take a shit ton of public transit and you know it's going to take you a half an hour worth of trains and connectors to get to where you're going, like that's plenty of time to sit and at least start a pod. You know, if you have a 5-minute commute to work and then you're at work, like, you know, if you're not doing something, you don't have that like pod time. So I do think they got into it too late. As far as if I think like, I think your first question is the real question because I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a combination of regular shows and like personality shows. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to get some of the people that they've got that already produce their own podcasts to put their podcasts on the network. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to get Edge and Christian to put their pod on their on their official WWE podcast.
Sure.
Same thing with like Austin, guys like that have a show. Yeah. If it's not already on like a syndicated podcast network, I wouldn't be surprised if WWE approached them and was like, hey, so we're starting our own pod network. Can we start like just airing yours and we'll add that into your Legends deal?
And then for all you know, they might give better deal. They might give better financial deals.
Well, and you know what a podcast network also allows them opportunities to do? It allows them opportunities for two things. Number one, oral histories. Because oral histories can be really fucking interesting. You get some oral history projects going on, like AWA, early NWA, like some of the Jim Crockett shit. Like, you get some of those people that like to really get down into the weeds and start doing interviews and shit. Like, oral histories will be great. It also gives them the opportunity to groom their next generation of announcers and broadcasters.
Good point. Yeah, because good point.
Hire your kids out of school when they've got these J degrees, but they don't necessarily have that field experience. That's a great way to train them on that field experience and get them more comfortable speaking into a headset, get them more comfortable working in a production environment, get them more comfortable having a voice in their ear. Like, we know happens a lot on WWE TV. Mm-hmm. If you get them involved with those oral history shits, like I was saying, get them involved doing interviews on microphone, because those are all skills. And they're skills that need to be honed, just like the wrestlers have to hone their characters. Those are still skills that those guys are trying to work with. Great point. It gives them the opportunity to, like, let people like a Charlie, who, you know, will be open about her struggles on camera.
Yeah, Kayla Braxton. If you've heard Kayla, like, Braxton's Kayla story.
Yeah, like,
Jesus Christ, yes.
You know, you see some of the shit Kayla puts on Twitter, and so it's like, you know, give her the opportunity to get more comfortable with the speaking portion, mm-hmm. and then transition when she's got some of those skills under her belt.
And then, so Josiah Williams is the kid who, say kid, he's like maybe 25, that they hired the rapper that was doing the, he was like remixing like a lot of WWE themes, and they hired him. And so he's one of their initial hires for their digital media group or something like that, that they have at the Performance Center. This could be big for that. And you know who's behind this, I bet you? Bruce Pritchard.
Oh, yeah. I could see Bruce being like, yo, why aren't y'all doing this shit?
Because Bruce made hundreds of thousands, if not possibly millions, off of his podcast.
Well, and you know who else I bet would echo that support that recently got hired back? Bischoff.
100%. Because Bischoff jumped in the game too and makes good money. Yeah,
And I bet you Bischoff would be like, yo, Vince, you can get good advertising dollars with a recognizable brand name. You can get good at, because like that's where the money is in that media, is advertising. And an entity like WWE isn't going to struggle to get advertisers.
Right, because that's why shows like those guys' shows do so well. And then our show, which has just as good content. And like, if we could do this every day, really. And I mean, you know, it would be rough, but fuck it, we could do it. But that's why we're struggling, because, you know, nobody knows us outside of our wonderful, amazing listeners. And I don't like the word fans. Our wonderful, amazing listeners and people and friends and whatnot. But yeah.
Yeah. So like, I think that there are some opportunities for them. Absolutely.
So think about this. By the end of 2019, Vince could possibly step back, focus on XFL starting in February, and you could have Heyman over Raw, Bischoff over SmackDown, Hunter over NXT and live events, Pritchard over online media. It's a different world, big dog. And Gabe over developmental because of Evolve. Mm-hmm. The world has changed.
Well, you know, you say you want a revolution.
Well, can you use that word revolution, because apparently it's owned by
Other company.
Don't you find it interesting too that Cody is such a WCW mark because of his daddy, and there's such a child of WCW in theory.
I find that interesting for a lot of reasons.
Well, hold on. That wasn't the interesting part.
Well, I know, but I'm saying I find that point interesting for a lot of reasons I'd love to talk to you about after we finish the show.
Okay, wonderful. Yes. But the interesting part is that all their first shows were in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. They know where the fans are. They know
I'm
where
they're going
to sell the tickets. But
yeah.
It is what it is. That's our show pretty much, y'all. So we're going to start with our plugs and then...
Hold on. I'm watching the football game on Fox, and there's a big minute-long commercial for SmackDown Live on Fox.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I was just going to say we're going to start with the plugs. So, like, you can find me on Twitter at Dr. Smores. You can find our good missing brother Carl on Twitter at Outside of Curvin. You can find the show on Twitter at Outsiders Edge CS. Wonderful. You can find our good brother Rance on Twitter at
WWE NXT. It's Ray Cash, RUIs, and Mysterio CASH as in dollars.
The show, of course, is on
the Chairshot Radio Network at Chairshot.com, where you
always use your head.
Take them home, big dog.
Well, as always, y'all, remember, we here at the Outsider's Edge are some increasingly older men out here trying to do what we can to make it in this world. And sometimes we're going to say some things that make you feel pretty salty, like being realistic about AEW or telling you that you're being fools about NXT on USA. Other times, we might just completely forget our point mid-sentence and have to redirect.
We old, y'all.
Shit happens. But no matter what happens, each and every week we out here trying to follow our dreams. And you have got to respect that. Because if you don't, well, we sure don't give a fuck.
Fuck him. But it's ironic that we talked about Punk and he's the reason we say that. But thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.